Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. Welcome back to the show, Tim.
Jim, thanks for having me.
Tim, is the Dow about to set a new high?
You know, that is possible. That test is about to be at hand. The intermediate term advance out of the March low is still intact. It's very, very right translated, meaning that the cycle has pushed, past its midpoint. The intermediate term cycle low is due, and I do have intermediate term sell signals on the S&P 500, the transports, the NASDAQ 100. They all gave signals last week. Even Apple, I saw an intermediate term sell signal, I think, last week or week before. And so that's telling me that we should be at that intermediate term top. On the industrials themselves, I do not yet have an intermediate term sell signal, but I think that intermediate term top is at hand. So by definition, that's going to give us weakness to go into an intermediate term low. And then from that point, the market is going to have the opportunity to either move higher, you know, to a new high, as you're saying, or it's going to conclude the setup here to cap this advance out of the October low. So that test is at hand. That's what we're about to see.
What about the NASDAQ?
Well, the NASDAQ, I've got an intermediate term sell signal. Same thing. Same exact thing with all of them. We're at that point where, like I said, it's an intermediate term top is at hand.
What does an investor do with that information? Do I sell now and then buy dips again, which has kind of been the trend?
Well, that has been the trend. I don't want to give, I'm not going to give specific advice, but I can just tell you that the equity averages are at an intermediate term top, or should be at an intermediate term top. I mean, I have evidence in the indexes that I mentioned that I had intermediate term sell signals on that top's at hand, which by definition means we should see weakness. What degree that weakness is, how far we decline into that intermediate term low, I don't know, but we've had a pretty extended rally, so we should see weakness into the intermediate term low. And then that is a buy the dip opportunity coming out of that intermediate term low, with the expectation that the market's going to move higher, but it may not. I mean, I don't know. The way I use that information is when a low is in place or a top is in place, then you know you're at a turn point. So what I'm saying is I think we're at a turn point for a correction here. When we get to that next intermediate term low, then we'll be at a turn point for another rally. If that rally, as long as that intermediate term buy signal at coming out of that low is intact, then, equities remain in a position to move higher. But if we get that buy signal and evidence of that intermediate term low and it fizzles out in a week or so, then or two or three or whatever the case may be, then that's going to tell us that something else is afoot. So, it's one step at a time. But as of right now, intermediate term top, I think, is at hand.
What's going on with the U.S. dollar right now?
Well, the dollar, we've had an intermediate short and intermediate degree low, which I think is counter trend. The dollar, in longer term, I believe the four-year cycle top has been seen. We've talked about that, back, I think it was last September, October, we made the four-year cycle top. And again, by definition, these shorter term lows are counter trend, which they have been. So I think what we've seen is a rally out of, lesser degree lows. It's counter trend, and I think the direction for the dollar is down into the next at a higher level. Is down into the next 4-year cycle low. Now that said, I think the dollar has built a tremendous base. Throughout the 2000, really from 2004 into 2014. And really into this 2021, the last 4-year cycle low, the dollar's built a tremendous base. So I think the dollar, longer term is bullish. But right now, with that 4-year top in place, I think any advance is counter trend.
The BRICS, and Russia's trying to enlist help from Africa to pull down the American dollar. Is that because so much of the world's debt is owed in U.S. dollars?
Possibly. I don't know. I can't speak on that. I don't know what they're thinking may be. I just know that looking at the chart, the direction of the dollar is down in accordance with the 4-year cycle. So how that fits with the fundamentals, I can't say. I don't know. But they do line. They do align. I can say that.
U.S. inflation up to 3.2%. It was down to 2.8% the other month. Are we getting accurate inflation figures, or are they doing the swap? Remember, it used to be the price of steak, and then it was the price of pot roast, and now it's probably the cheapest ground beef or chicken lips or something. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, you're never going to get an accurate. They changed the yardstick, to suit the narrative. Excluding housing and, the things that they include or exclude in some of the core inflation. I mean, that's insane because, it's just not reality. And I don't even follow that data. I don't trust any of the data. They can say that inflation is down, but inflation is never down. It's cumulative. If you think about it, it's cumulative. The growth rate may be down, but inflation is always cumulative. I mean, when inflation turns down, have we returned back to the prices of, say, the 60s or the 70s or the 80s or the 90s or the pre-COVID era? No, and we probably never will. So it's the growth rate that may subside some, but cumulatively, the inflation, it's just, it is what it is.
Now, higher interest rates really hit hard and fast in Canada because Canadians typically have variable rate mortgages or 5-year mortgages. In the U.S., it's 30-year mortgages. But anybody who has to buy a new home or move is going to be taking a look at higher interest rates in the U.S. What do you think is going to happen to the housing market there when these higher rates really bite in?
Well, I think it's probably already starting to happen. It's a slow process, but obviously that's going to take its toll. I think that there are a lot of people that probably, my understanding, I'm not a housing market expert, but my basic understanding from what I'm seeing here is that people that are paying cash for the homes or own their homes, it's a non-event. But what I'm seeing and hearing in the local market is that the inventory is down because people who own their homes, they're not selling. And so I think that, obviously this is going to be a negative for the housing market.
We'll have more with Tim Seckelsman Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Seckelsman Wood. Tim, are interest rates still going to keep rising, even though inflation seems to the average person kind of wrestled down to something reasonable?
Well, Jim, we're seeing some unprecedented things with interest rates. I have said, based on solid models that, go back for, 40, 50 years, and in some cases more, that this has been an unprecedented rate hiking cycle, in that it was a rate hiking cycle that really should have never begun. And I don't want to digress into that rabbit hole, but from that perspective, I mean that's provable. I got evidence of that. But that aside, you know, there's another model I look at, looking at, you know, interest rate hiking cycles, and trying to look for the top of those cycles. And by that measure, it's also unprecedented in the sense that they have pushed that envelope, or how do I say this? There is a spread between a couple of different maturities that I look at, and we've never seen, when that spread reaches a certain level, you know, there's never been another rate hiking cycle. It's always been like the cap, if you will. And that envelope has been pushed, you know, to a new level. I mean, we shouldn't have seen this last rate hiking cycle. And there was only a small precedence for the one before that. So if we see another one, we're really going to be in uncharted waters. Not that we already are. I mean, we clearly already are. So, you know, there's no, my benchmark, what I'm trying to say is every benchmark that I have that says that this rate hiking cycle should be over has been surpassed. So should we be at the top of a rate hiking cycle? Absolutely, we should. I'm surprised by the last two rate hiking cycles, and I'm certainly surprised by the last one. Not to mention again that the rate hiking cycle, I don't, you know, it never should have begun. But here we are. And do they raise again? I mean, it's really anybody's guess. But looking at the models, we certainly should be at the top of a rate hiking cycle. My suspicion, I think they may raise again. So I don't know that. You know, I don't want to get into the reasoning of why, but I think they, in effect, it's to keep the rate hiking cycle alive, which in turn will keep something I call my checkmate chart alive, because it keeps the deflationary forces at bay, believe it or not, by raising. And I know that may not make a lot of sense if you're not reading the material, but I think that's the explanation as to why we have seen these unprecedented rate hikes.
For people who have money in the bank, you're finally getting interest. And are the people who have that money interested in spending it instead?
I don't know. I would be hoarding it if it was me.
And also, we keep hearing the word, oh, we're about to go into a recession. But we've been hearing that now for a year and a half. This is the most predicted recession ever, I think.
Well, but let's talk about that for a minute. I have, there's hard data, and you can't dismiss the data. I'll give you a couple of examples. I data mine. It's just what I do. And there's a statistic I found looking at, for example, the unemployment growth rate. And I don't have the statistic. I'm 100% on my mind because I hadn't thought about it in a couple of months since I found this. But I want to say, as I remember it, that going back into like 1948 or 49, that every time the growth rate of the unemployment, the unemployment growth rate had risen above the zero line. In other words, unemployment is rising and the growth rate, get the picture in your mind, and the growth rate goes above the zero growth rate line, it has coincided with a recession. Well, that's 100%er. As I recall, there may have been one exception, but I think that was 100% going back to 1948-49. Another one, looking at tax receipts, I found that every time the growth rate of tax receipts dropped below zero, that had been associated with an official recession, according to the Fed. Well, that's happened again, but, you know, no recession. Well, that doesn't dismiss those statistics. How do you dismiss two independent statistics like that and say, well, they don't matter this time? You can't. And so I think the recession just hasn't, for whatever reason, I think this is such an enormous bubble that it just hasn't come to fruition yet. Another one, I tied the growth rate of M2 to long-term economic crises and panics going back all the way back into the 1800s. And every time that's gone below zero, it is equated to a massive deflationary decline, which I think we're in the process of setting up. But, you know, that's an ongoing thing. That's the bigger picture. But still, at this point, that hasn't happened. No recession. And so do you throw all those statistics out? Absolutely 100% not. I think what this is simply telling us is it's a reflection of how big this bubble is and how stretched things are. I mean, every norm in the book is being stretched, just like the rate hiking cycle that never should have been. Just like, even though the rate hiking cycle, you know, it came to be, okay, every norm with, the tops has been stretched. And in all of these predictors of recession has been stretched. Everything has been stretched. And I think that is just a sign of the times, the sign of the bubble.
Do you think economists don't understand the American consumer? Because right now, I mean, after 2.5 years of being told, don't go anywhere, don't see anyone, people are travel obsessed. I made a trip to Edmonton, which isn't really noted as a holiday center of the world, but I have lots of friends and family there, and it turned out to be a terrific trip. And instead of spending money on other things that you might need or might want, is travel kind of throwing everything out where people aren't, with inflation, the necessities are costly enough, so they're not buying an excess of that. But they still want to get out and see things and do things and see people. And has that kind of thrown all these plans out where, oh, it's going to be a recession and everything's going to be shrinking, but people are out spending money, mostly it seems, on travel or personal services?
You know, that could be an explanation. Some of that may be why this is being delayed. I don't know, but what you're saying makes perfect sense, that maybe what we're seeing is that would be an explanation to explain why we haven't seen, you know, we've seen all these signposts, but we haven't seen it trigger. And again, I have to believe that it's just delaying the inevitable, and we're seeing a longer lag time between the signals and the reality of the pending recession. I mean, that's simply how I view it. Because there's no way you can throw out that kind of data and it just no longer mean anything.
What's going on with crude?
We've had obviously an intermediate degree low in crude, and I think possibly a higher degree low even. We may have even seen the 3-year cycle low. Back in December, I wrote in the December letter that we should expect the 3-year cycle in the CRB, in a commodity complex, which would include crude, obviously, sometime between the timing for that, between April and September. And I think we saw that that low in May with crude oil. And I forget when it bottomed on the CRB. I don't have a chart in front of me, but somewhere along that time frame, may have been in April on the CRB. And that's what we're seeing. I think it's counter trend, but it's a rally of a higher degree in association with that 3-year top, or excuse me, with that 3-year low. And then just like I was talking about with equities, I think that this advance coming out of this low is part of the overall setup to possibly, you know, conclude the higher degree setup with the downturn out of the 6th economic cycle. So that all said, saying it simplistically, I think it's countertrend, a higher degree countertrend rally within the context of the overall setup.
Anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
No, I think we pretty much covered it. The key in my eyes is the structure of the market. I mean, in order for this thing to finally turn and cap the advance out of the October low last year, we have to have certain structure in place. You know, we've had an intermediate term buy signal since, you know, way back in March, coming out of this intermediate term low. And until we get the actual intermediate term sell signal on the industrials, I think higher prices are possible. Like I said, I do have that signal on the S&P, the transports, the NASDAQ, Apple. And so I think that top is building. And then from there, we have to see, you know, what the advance out of the next intermediate term low brings. But I think there's a correction on the horizon into that intermediate degree low.
Well, and traditionally that happens in September or October, right?
Right, yeah. Right. And this, we should have some sort of a low, I think, set up You know, you bring up an interesting point. I look for that low sometime in the first portion between now and, say, the first half of September, if you know, the count, unless the cycle stretches beyond that point. But ideally, it should be between now and mid-September, and then some sort of a rally. And people may think that, you know, okay, this was it, the September, you know, decline, it's over, and that was it, and glad that's behind us, and, you know, it's all good. But I'm not so sure that could be the case. So, like I said, it's going to be the advance out of that intermediate degree low that's really going to tell the tale. Because let me remind people of this and draw this picture in your mind. And I'm not saying it's going to be the same, but let me give you an example of what I'm saying here. Back in, I think it was in 87, we peaked in August. There was some weakness. The market rallied into early October. That was an intermediate degree low with an intermediate degree advance. It set up with the proper structure to cap it, and we know what happened. The rest was history. Looking at 2007, something similar. There was a low, a high in the summer. It was followed by the intermediate degree decline, a little bit of weakness, and then one last push into October. So what I'm saying is that just because we get an early low, let's say in late August, early September, does not necessarily mean that we couldn't see a higher degree top here in association with the advance out of the October low from last year. So, again, have to take it one step at a time and see what the structure brings.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. If you have any questions for Tim or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.